The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, on yesterday's show, we were talking to Pierre Boutin, the CEO of VW Ireland, about some of the misconceptions about driving EVs in Ireland and some of the real problems. And all of that went some way to explain the slowdown in EV adoption. But there's one country pretty similar in population to ourselves, which has gone almost entirely electric when it comes to new car sales. That country is Norway. I'm joined by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
So they are doing it and doing it very successfully.
Yeah, they are. They, in a sense, they've been at it since the 1990s when they started favouring lower emission vehicles. But they really have gone gangbusters on electric vehicles in the last 10 years and have outstripped the world. They have the biggest electric fleet per capita in the world. And they're now at over 90% of new car sales are electric and 40% of the entire fleet.
So as cars are being run out, you know, old diesels, old petrols, they will be inevitably replaced by electric. How do they persuade their population to buy electric?
Right. Well, there are big measures and small measures. The big measure is the sales taxes. They essentially remove all the taxes. Norway, like Ireland, has a number of taxes on new cars. In their cases, it's an emission license and also it's equivalent to our VRT. But they discount all of those for electric vehicles.
So they're saying no emission, therefore no tax.
No emission, therefore no tax. So when the consumer walks onto the forecourt, if you take the Volkswagen Golf, for example, 36,000 there, thereabouts for the petrol version, similar to Ireland, the electric version is 10 grand cheaper to the consumer in Norway. So they're making the choice on the forecourt and that's the one they go for. In Ireland, we give a discount of €3,500. But the electric option is still the more expensive of the two to the consumer when they're buying. And that's the one that really makes the huge difference. But in addition to that, they have a whole load of soft measures in the country that just favour electric vehicles. For example, half price tolls and half price ferry charges by law. One I think is really interesting, electric vehicles in a lot of locations can use bus lanes, which could potentially be a game changer here. So at every turn,
and parking,
they're favouring EVs.
Parking is cheaper for EVs in some places.
Yeah, again, by law, parking has to be no more than half price for EVs. And in many places, it's free.
Now, Norway, big, big country, you know, the far frozen north and all of that. So how do they manage? Because, I mean, with the best will in the world, you might get, say, 500 kilometres out of the more modern EV. So if you're heading way up north, what do you do? Yeah. Are there charging points?
They lead the world on the provision of public charging points. They have, 0.9% of Europe's population, and they have 9% of all the charging points. There are 16,000. On all of the primary network, every 50 kilometres, there's charging.
So you're never more than 50k away from a fast charger?
Never more than 50k away from a fast charger. They give grants to housing associations as well as individuals for the installation of them. So they have something like 16,000 chargers countrywide. We have here in Ireland, less than 6,000 all told.
Now, the revenue that's foregone, number one, the revenue on carbon fuels, and then the revenue on the VRT and the VAT, which they're foregoing on the sale of EVs. How are they justifying that and how are they compensating for it?
They're willing to tolerate it in the short term. I think ultimately, right across the world, the taxes will pivot and the new electric motorist will wind up as the motorist of old, ultimately paying taxes. I think that's inevitable.
So you'll pay per kilometre that driven, probably something like that,
something
road
like that.
Pricing.
And it's perfectly possible to track them and charge you more in a city during commuter hour, etc. And balance it such that you retain the revenue. But in Norway's case, they're foregoing it in the short term. Now, were we to do that here, Pat, of these, say, 5 or 6 billion per annum that the government gets off motorists, we would have to tolerate in the short term getting only about half of that as the taxes taper. Now, were we to tolerate doing that, you could fund the switchover in Ireland as they've done in Norway.
But it would be at great cost to revenue, and they would probably want to tax us somewhere else. Even the non-motorists might get taxed somewhere else to compensate for that loss
and
of revenue.
We would all have to acknowledge that the tax revenue would have to come back from somewhere, probably ultimately from motorists in the new landscape. But if you really want to get people off fossil fuels, the clearest way to do it is to make it much, much cheaper for them to live the new way than to live the old.
What was your reaction to that survey conducted by VW in terms of the reservations that non-EV drivers had on the one hand about their worries, range anxiety, charging and all that, versus the EV owner who seems delighted with the experience?
Yeah, well, I think it shows you that EVs are answering their critics. And I think some of those preconceptions are actually outdated ones. They might have been true about EVs 5 years ago, 6, 7, 8 years ago, the earlier iterations of them. But anybody who drives an EV now will tell you that those just aren't problems that exist these days.
And EV drivers said they'd never go back. By and large, they would
by
not
and
go
large,
back.
But in Ireland, you have to think more deeply about your usage case. If you've got a granny in the west of Ireland, if that's a journey you might have to do, it's something you're going to have to factor in. If your car can't get to Cork and back without you having to spend an hour finding a charger in Cork, maybe that won't happen for you once in 5 years.
But I remember I had an experience driving to Kenmare.
Yeah.
And I had a full battery and I knew I had 460 kilometres. And then I got on the motorway and I was just staying within the speed limit, but I watched the battery go down.
You watch it
so
melt.
When I got to Cashel, I said, I better put some more in. So luckily I found a charger, had a cup of coffee and a Big Mac.
Yeah.
Happy boy. And came back out and I'd added 100K to it. When I got to Kenmare, I had 140K. In my battery, which meant that I would have got there with 40K to spare. But the range anxiety going through West Cork, knowing there was no charger in maybe the dead of night,
so
not a charger in sight, very concerning.
And it's that nervous experience that no driver
really
wants.
We just need loads
of chargers. And as I say, in Ireland, you have to think about your usage case. Will it work for me? Will it not work for me? In Norway, you're certain. There's chargers everywhere, literally chargers everywhere.
Now, we should remember that in Norway, they found oil and gas. And they invested very wisely.
Yeah.
And in fact, each Norwegian is personally very wealthy, except the state is minding the money for them.
Yeah, and has been since they set up the Sovereign Wealth Fund, which famously, it's now at $1.8 trillion, which is just absolutely extraordinary. It's doubled in value in the last 5 or 6 years. And the UK at the same time found a similar amount of gas and oil, and they've essentially nothing to show for it. But in the case of the Norwegians, it means they can afford to think long term about this.
Yeah.
For example, the Apple billions, what got 13 billion from Apple. Norway could pay us that 130 times
wow.
and still have change. So they can afford to take a long-term view. But long or short-term, it will be cheaper for us ultimately. If we're determined to make the switch to electric vehicles, we sort of have to grasp that nettle and get on. And
we're also supposed to be the wind gazillionaires, aren't we?
Well, ultimately, and maybe that'll save us all when we're producing, 30% of our electricity now through wind and renewables.
But
be our oil in the
We've got to have an excess so that we can create hydrogen or whatever with that excess wind energy so that we may need generators to burn the hydrogen to provide electricity when the wind does not blow.
Yeah, the physics tells us that it's all there for us. We have the wind capacity in theory. We could be the next Norway if we kind of marshal our resources correctly. Mm. Norway's a good example of how a country can manage things well, clearly on the financial side, because, they become so wealthy on foot of it.
In the meantime here, what do you think governments should do to speed up the conversion to EV?
Well, the single biggest measure, the fripperies and stuff that the Norwegians did are useful. So free tolls, for example, really helps make the usage case, answer people who are frustrated. But the big one is make them cheaper. When I walk onto a forecourt looking to get a family car, if the EV is 10 grand cheaper, 5 grand cheaper than its petrol or diesel equivalent, then that's what I'm doing. We still have it the other way around here. So sales are lagging.
Kieran points out my mathematics was flawed.
Mm.
If there is every 50 kilometres a fast charger, then you're never more than 25 kilometres away.
Yeah, well, and look, you're not needing them nearly as much because the charging network itself is actually becoming less relevant as batteries and ranges get better.
I live in Tallinn, Estonia. We get tons of Norwegian tourists during the summer driving their EVs, and lots of them are driving Chinese EVs, which are very, very affordable. Another one says, if Europe and the US continue to act only to protect their producers, then it's clear they are unserious about fighting climate change.
Absolutely. That's from David. That one. Yeah.
Norway can afford to be green because of the massive sovereign wealth fund to which you have adverted.
And a bit on their conscience of that, because essentially where did that come from? It came from North Sea.
From the rest of us burning their stuff.
Their stuff is still in our atmosphere as CO2, so I think they're aware of that as well.
So there's an element of hypocrisy involved in.
Well, you know, if you did make that much money from oil, what's the best way to do it? And I think at least on their own doorstep, they're doing the right thing.
Okay, so those people who have to cross the West Link twice a day, drive an EV and get a free toll, that would change.
Free of the bus lanes would be great as well. If we were really, really determined to be as successful as Norway on the switch to EVs, there are things that we can do to make it happen. We're just not doing them.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.